is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church. Coming to you from Austin, Texas. Friends, it's so good to be with you again here at Bible Home Church out of Austin, Texas. Someone asked me why we named it Bible Home Church. I think both of the first names there, Bible and Home, and then Church, all three really have significance, don't they? I mean, we base our beliefs here at Bible Home Church on the Bible. We believe that Jesus is head of the home. And then we, as servants of God, all band together. Do we not? You and me, no matter where you're at, anywhere in the world, we are church. We are Jesus' great church. And we are bond servants to Him. I feel like I'm a slave, but I'm a happy slave. I'm a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus said His yoke is, it's not that tough. It's not that difficult. You'll find it very easy when He puts it around you. You'll be amazed even at the liberty you receive. You know, whatever you become bondage to, that is who is your master, it says in the Bible. And you're either a slave to Satan or to God. If you think you have freedom because Satan is your master and you can go and sin and do whatever you want, you are sadly mistaken. But, in fact, you're in bondage, and the worst kind of bondage is the kind in which the slave has no idea that he's a slave. Control in the mind and in the body, and in the lust, and in the appetite, unable to function as a true human being. But once you come to know Jesus Christ, and you're born again, according to John chapter 3, verse 3, then you have liberty in Christ. Not liberty in order to go and do wrong, but liberty in the fact that you are free to follow your best instincts, to do what is right. And you have power, the unlimited power of Jesus, our Lord. Whereas Satan has very defined and greatly, greatly limited powers, but God's is unlimited. If you have a loved one and that loved one is ill or sick, pray to Satan, and Satan will probably try to kill the person. Just out of spite. Who knows? I don't know that. I don't think you better try anything like that, even if you're a Satanist. Because I don't think that Satan has power to heal people. But God does. Here again, we see so many differences. But enough of that. We've got an exciting series of programs we're going to start today. You know, with what has been happening recently in the world, these terrorist attacks, so many people ask me, could this escalate to World War III? Well, we know that World War III is going to occur. How do I know? Because the Bible prophesied it would occur. You say, oh, well, Jesus talked about wars and rumors of wars in Matthew 23 and 24, particularly 24. But they've always happened. But friends, let me assure you, the things that are described in these programs over the next 4 weeks that you're going to hear at Bible Home Church have never, ever occurred, many of them. These weapon systems, amazingly, lasers, precision-guided munitions or bombs, aircraft, missiles, these things have never been used in history until our generation, most of them. I mean, no aircraft were available to the world until the last century. So, did the Bible prophesy aircraft? Jet aircraft? Yes. Did the Bible prophesy use of biological warfare? You will see it is true. Did the Bible prophesy nuclear bombs being dropped on people? Wait until you hear passages from the Bible on Bible prophecy. You will be amazed. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks. Does the Bible prophesy World War III? Now, understand, I'm not saying that this war on terrorism that we need to get involved in, and yes, we need to fight these evil people, these faceless cowards, but, I'm not telling you that this will escalate to World War III, but it could. Many people are saying this could turn out to be a war of the rest of the world against the Muslims. I doubt that, although there are many Muslim fanatics out there. But today, we're going to get deep into Bible prophecy and World War III. It may come now. That's up to the Lord. This may be it. I'm not saying it's not. Please understand, if God gives me guidance and says, text my servant, let my people know, this is the end. I'll tell you. Believe me. I'll tell you with God's permission. But he hasn't told me that. So all I can do now is say the Bible prophesied it. Here's what the Bible says. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-numbing. It's eye-opening. And I think you're going to enjoy it if you're a Christian. Because you see, you'll have a great opportunity to avoid these ravages and to escape the great tribulation of the last days. God doesn't promise you escape from all tribulation and worries and troubles. No. God never promised you that. This is not a rose garden, my friend. They're thorns, and you're going to have to fight those thorns and defeat them. That's part of the Christian life, fighting obstacles, warring against the powers of darkness. Hey, that's your mission. You and I are loving persons, but we've got a job to do. And if you're truly a loving person, you will fight evil. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no part with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with them. But then they also say, but I don't want to have anything to do with fighting them either. But the Bible says reprove. That means rebuke them, confront them, go against them. And you know what? God even will empower you to defeat them, because the Bible says that Jesus came for one express purpose, to defeat the works of the devil. And in saving you and me with our born-again experience, that was part of that work. And now you have a job to do. He's our great general, and you're the soldier. And I don't care about all of these nimby-pamby church pastors that say we don't want warrior-like songs like Onward Christian Soldier anymore. Those pastors, they're just going down to damnation by trying to strip the Bible of its power. That's a great song, Onward Christian Soldiers, because it epitomizes what the Apostle Paul told us. Put on the helmet and the breastplate. Come on, let's get with it, my friends. We're warriors for Christ. Notice, we're not religious warriors that go out and kill innocent people. No. I've always said the New Age will love you to death, but Jesus will love you to life. There is a great difference in the Christian warrior and the Islamic warrior. We do not war against the flesh. We war against hidden powers and high places of evil. Keep that in mind, my friends. How do we do it? Through love, through God's word. There may be times we are called upon to protect our country. I don't have any problem with defending your family and America. But always keep in mind, also, we have other tools. You can be a soldier in the U.S. Army and still serve God and use other tools. Some of the most hardened murderers, rapists, burglars, criminals throughout history have been converted by the word of the Lord. So, you know, maybe God is out there looking. I remember a movie some years ago called The Dirty Dozen, and they recruited these. I forget who played in the movie. I can't even remember now, Marvin Lee or something. But they recruited these 12 evil people, got them out of prison. They had nothing to lose. They were there, you know, on murder charges or whatever. And they said, hey, if you'll go with us on this secret mission against the Nazis, if you come out alive, you'll have your life, and we'll give you a pardon. The Dirty Dozen, they called them. to do a secret mission behind the lines. Well, you know, here's the way God would do it. He'd take the dirty dozen and make them into the clean 12. And then he would give them a mission. So, a little bit different than the world would do it. So friends, we don't know what God has in mind, but we need to pray for these Muslims. Reach them. Here is what I believe. We now have millions of Muslims within our midst in the United States. I doubt if we're going to have the gumption to expel them, and many of them are very dangerous people. I do believe that. What should you do? Should you throw a bomb at the nearest Muslim mosque? Come on. Christians don't throw bombs and kill innocent people. Should you spit on them when you see them in the street with the turbans on their head and their women covered up? Should you scream at them and holler epithets and taunts? You and I know Christians don't do that. What can you do then as a warrior of Christ? You know what you can do? You can pray for those people. You can witness to them. You can befriend them. And when you're befriending them, don't be afraid to mention the name of Jesus. If they get mad at you, they get mad. So what? The world finds the gospel offensive. So big deal. That's what you were put here for. Now, here's what has really happened, though. Throughout America, these Muslims, no one prays for them that they'll be converted. In fact, most people say, through political correctness, let them have their religion. They have their God. We have our God. It doesn't really matter. It does matter. Well, I've got off on a different tangent here, haven't I? I said we were going to talk about World War III and what the Bible's prophecies say. But you know, this is part of it too. While the world's military powers are building their great, awesome prowess, should we not build up our spiritual strength? Can we fight against evil with military weaponry alone in the United States? I think not. Ponder that, my friend, please. Meanwhile, we're going to start off with a great song today. You know, we've had a couple of songs from Cecil Stamps Blackwood and the Blackwood Brothers Quartet. These are great old songs. I have an album here. You may want to get it. It has like 12 or 13 volumes to it. History of Gospel Music, the Blackwood Brothers Quartet. And one of the songs is Restore My Soul. Restore My Soul. Now, immediately after, we're going to begin our new series, Does the Bible Prophesy World War III? Before we begin the song now, though, I'd love to hear from you. I've talked a little bit about these world events, and I want to know what you think. I'd like to hear from you. Feel free to write to me. We'd love to get your financial support and your prayer support as well. One or both. We appreciate it so much when we have love gifts that come in from our friends. But you know, if you need prayer help, there's a need in your family and you want somebody to pray for you, write to us and tell us. You don't have to send any money with that prayer request. We're not asking you to pay us to pray for you. So I'm not going to ask you if you have a prayer request to tuck in a love gift. That would be wrong of me. If you have a prayer request, just write to us and tell us. We'll pray for you. And we'll do it free of charge. I love it when a Christian says, would you pray for me? I love that. And that's an opportunity for me to serve the Lord. As I said, I am a slave. I am a slave to Jesus Christ. And I'm proud of it. I am the most happiest slave in the world. I want to be a slave forever in the arms of Christ. Does that make me some kind of a fanatic? I suppose I am. Well, here we go. Restore My Soul, followed by, about 12 or 13 minutes at the most, probably, the first part of today's message of Does the Bible Prophesy World War III? Restore My Soul, the Blackwood Brothers.
Lord, you know I've been foolish, I've been blind. I've let my doubt and confusion cloud my mind. I've walked in my own wisdom and I've been wrong. Take my hand and lead me back where I belong. Strip the wall touch me now, made me all that I should be. Restore.
I was recently looking at a book that I wrote years ago, actually, called Mega Forces. It's not even in print anymore. Subtitle, Signs and Wonders of the Coming Chaos. And I'll tell you, every time I read my book, it's not because I wrote it that I find it so astonishing. Although sometimes I look back and say, I have no idea how I was able to write a certain book. And I just give credit to the Lord for inspiring me. I'm not saying that the books are like the Bible and perfect in every way. They're certainly not. But I do believe in the inspiration of God. And, you know, if a pastor truly is walking with God, I believe God will inspire his messages. And if a Christian researcher, investigator like myself, and prophecy teacher walks with God, well, God will inspire what we write and what we say. No doubt about that. We don't want to elevate ourselves beyond what we should, beyond our measure, but I do believe in the inspirational leadership of our Lord. And by the way, he'll lead you in your life, too. It's not just Christian writers and authors and pastors, but that's his promise to anyone. In fact, he's already carved out your life in advance. All you have to do is say, God, what do I do today? And he has work for you to do each and every day, and that's the key to happiness. Well, in any case, I was looking at mega forces, and you know, it's just astonishing because what I did, and here it is. You said, oh, Tex, that prideful old Tex Mars. But no, let me explain this. You see, I quote God's Word, the Bible. And in this book, I show where everything we're seeing today, all the advances in science and in incredible high-tech military weaponry was forecast in advance in God's Word. That's why this book was so good. I mean, please don't write us to get it. We just don't have any more copies. Maybe we'll put it back in print a little bit later on because I always loved this book, Mega Forces. But I love it because it has all these Bible quotes in there. How can you deny God prophesied a great World War III calamity to come in the last days? In fact, in the appendix of the book, I actually have a chart. It's several pages long, in which it lists all of the modern weapons and tools of a World War III. All of the high-tech weapons, laser weapons, biotech weapons, rockets and missiles, smart or precision-guided munitions, all of these things, chemical munitions, all of these things were prophesied.
even the nuclear bomb, the neutron bomb, all tanks, armored personnel carriers, prophesied in God's word. It's an astonishing thing. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to look at the coming World War III. Does the Bible prophesy World War III? And my answer is absolutely yes. Does it give us a date? No, but it gives us a lot of signs. And we're going to see some of the signs today. A lot of people say, well, if this Ariel Sharon is such a big troublemaker and a war lord there in Israel, does this mean war? Will he kick out the Palestinians and Yasser Arafat? Will there be another Middle East war? Will we be sucked into it? Will the old Soviet Union, now called Russia, and their empire be brought into it? Will Iran and Iraq be bombed by the United States? And will Israel use its 300-plus atomic bombs? Will they drop those bombs using missiles and aircraft on Iraq, Saddam Hussein, Iran? Will China become involved? Will that 100 million men cross the Euphrates River? Some people say that's prophesied. How about the fact that China now has missile technology? Technology given them both by Israel and by the United States scientists and corporations with the approval of Israel's leaders and President Clinton, of course. Is that going to happen? How about Russia's continued economic collapse? In my newsletter, Power Prophecy, recently, I wrote of the plot to merge Russia and the United States into a new nation-state entity, a combined entity called Amarus, a new nation. It would start off with us buying Siberia, which is just across the Bering Strait, just, what, 38 miles or so, I believe it is. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I'll have to go to my atlas to see the geography there. But it's certainly a small stretch of water, the Bering Strait, from Alaska to Siberia, the Russian province. What if Russia and the United States were to be joined, along with Canada, in one giant monolithic nation called Amarus? That's what I talked about. And there is indeed a plot to do exactly that. How would that be brought about? Well, if Russia were decimated by nuclear attack from Israel, it could occur. If Russia attacked in the Middle East, and then Israel retaliated and massacred the Russian troops with its nuclear weapons, there are a lot of things going on. There's dangers now that China may attack from North Korea into South Korea once again. That China will attack Formosa or Taiwan in an attempt to take the Taiwan Straits back into the Chinese mainland and to overcome nationalist China.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on Does the Bible Prophesy World War III?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.